and want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when I asked for everybody that had the Holy Ghost to stand, and then I said everybody that wants the Holy Ghost to stand, I was watching. There are several of you tonight that want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would like to give opportunity in every service for anybody who doesn't have the Holy Ghost to receive the Holy Ghost. Because I think that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a marvelous and a wonderful, wonderful experience. Amen. And Jesus comes right in, lives within us. And I know that in the religious world we have phrases like, I accepted Christ as my Lord. The truth of the matter is, you don't accept him. He accepts you. Ephesians 1:6 says that we are accepted in the Beloved. But John 1:12 says, as many as received him. So we don't accept him. We receive him, and he accepts us through his blood, through Jesus Christ, his Son. That's the way it is. Okay, so we straighten up a few things once in a while along the way. And I'm not picking or finding fault or judging or condemning or anybody else. I just say that I like Bible nomenclature. I like Bible terminology. I like Bible words. And if you ever deal with a Jehovah's Witness, you will drive them absolutely insane if you just use the Bible. No church doctrine, nothing. Nothing but the Bible. You will absolutely send them to the asylum. They just can't take it. They can't take it. Enough said. But about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a lot of confusion about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some people think that the whole receiving the Holy Ghost is different than being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, I have about 25 scriptures here, and about a baker's dozen, of phrases that the Holy Ghost is called. Let me just share them with you before I preach. Okay. The Bible says in Acts 2:4, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Oh, some people make a distinction. Well, it comes upon you or it fills you up. Wait, no. That's people's technical, natural minds, but not God's mind. God makes them both the same. I'm not going to prove it tonight, but sometime, I don't have the time tonight to have something else I want to say, but I'd love to prove that, because it is so simply proven that these dozen things, or Baker's dozen things, are one and the same thing. Okay? It doesn't sound like it, does it? You know, we got natural minds, and they get in our way so often. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has come upon us. And then I will pour out my spirit. Same experience. He hath shed forth this. Same experience. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Then that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. And they received the Holy Ghost. He may receive the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on them, all of them, poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, which have received the Holy Ghost. This is all through the book of Acts. Acts 11:5. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Now, at the beginning, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There is proof right there that when he falls on you, he fills you.
Amen.
There it is. It's right there. You can't deny it. I love Peter. He said, as I began to speak to Cornelius and his Italian band, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us. And in Acts 2, it's described as the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, giving them the Holy Ghost. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? The Holy Ghost came on them. You're going to have 12 or 13 Holy Ghost experiences if you're going to make a distinction between every one of these scriptures that describe receiving the Holy Ghost. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that's, it's so important that it's found in Matthew, it's found in Mark, it's found in Luke, it's found in John, and it's found in the first chapter of Acts. Jesus said it, and John said it, and the gospel writers all wrote it. Hallelujah. What is the Holy Ghost? Somebody said the Holy Ghost is the spirit of a departed, or a ghost is the spirit of a departed person. Praise the Lord. Jesus departed and he sent the ghost. The Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's for us. He's the comforter, the earnest, and the seal. How many of you have the Holy Ghost again? How many have an active Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. Don't let it retire. Don't retire it, I should say. It won't retire, but we might try to retire it. We don't want to do that. So the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom, Jesus, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, remember, you're a believer first. Jesus gives the Holy Ghost to believers. He doesn't give it to non-believers. He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You have to be a believer, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. And so I don't condemn people who have faith in Christ and believe in God. I don't condemn them because I know that they are now candidates for the Holy Ghost. Why should I be nasty and drive them away and saying, I've got it and you don't have anything? Well, maybe they don't have what I've got. Maybe they don't have what you've got. But they're candidates for it if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Listen to the Greek on the word seal. It means to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation. Have you been sealed? Doesn't that sound good? Oh, I'm sealed. And you that have the Holy Ghost are sealed. That's a wonderful thing. When he gave us the Holy Ghost, he stamped us with a private mark for security or preservation. She's mine. He's mine. Praise the Lord. Now that's what it says. And then Vine's Greek study says that the word seal, the Greek word, means an emblem of ownership and security. An emblem of ownership and security. I like that. Now let's read on to verse 14. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You can't be mistaken on what that means. Jesus promised the Holy Ghost. And now you are sealed with that promise. Praise God. And then verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, now the Greek word there means a pledge. The earnest is a pledge. Part, here's what it is. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive part. You didn't get it all. Jesus got a lot more waiting for us. Amen. But you had a pledge. Jesus says, I pledge to you that you will receive more one day. It's part of the purchased money or property given advance as security for the rest. Hallelujah. The rest is coming. The rest is coming. You have the Holy Ghost. This Greek study tells me that there's more coming. In fact, it's like a girl and a boy getting engaged. There's more coming. Sweetheart, I love you. Will you marry me? Yes, I will. And she faints in his arms. And he pulls out a ring and he puts it on her finger and he says, this is my pledge. We will get married. Amen. Amen. So in modern Greek, that word, earnest, is an engagement ring. It's an engagement ring. You can read it right in your Greek studies. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you get engaged to Jesus and there's a marriage to follow. Hallelujah. How many want to go to the wedding marriage of the Lamb? Praise God. Amen. I do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I just want to talk a few minutes about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, or the falling upon us, or the pouring out. It's all the same thing. Don't let anybody confuse you. It's all the same thing. Anybody need an in-depth study on that? We will give it to you. It's already done in my files, and I can hand it right to you. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said it's the comforter. I said that it's the earnest of our inheritance. I said it's the seal. Yes. But you know, years ago it was quite popular to call, and raise your hand if you've heard this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the second blessing. Anybody old enough to have heard that? Okay, we got one dated here, another one dated. Okay, this was very popular years ago. I think maybe even John Wesley had experiences called it the second blessing. The second blessing. But that can't be. They are wrong. It cannot be the second blessing. Let me tell you why. Jesus said in John 16, 6 and 7, because I have said these things unto you, that he's going to die and he's going to be buried, he's going to rise again, and he'll come back. But because I said these things unto you, because they didn't have faith to believe it all and understand it all, he says, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus said. It is necessary, it is expedient for you that I go away. Are you catching? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Holy Ghost is not just a second blessing. Jesus could bless people. He could bless children. He could bless people on a mountainside while he was here on earth. But he could not pour out the Holy Ghost while he was here on earth. He had to go yonder to heaven to pour out the Holy Ghost. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. Therefore, it cannot be the second blessing. Jesus could impart blessings while he was on earth, but he had to go to heaven to give us the Holy Ghost. Catch it? Praise the Lord, okay? What the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. This is not some denominational thing. This is Scripture. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It shall come to pass, Joel said afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Ladies, you can receive the Holy Ghost too. Gentiles, you can receive the Holy Ghost too. How many Gentiles do we have here? Yeah, you're all Gentiles unless you're a Jew. Praise God. And so he is saying, it shall come to pass afterward, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's not talking about pouring out his spirit on donkeys and elephants and birds and bears and bees, on all flesh. He's not talking about that. He's talking about all nationalities, all flesh. Anybody can come. It's not limited to the Jews anymore. Praise God. And he's going to pour it out on men and women. And then it's fulfilled. That prophecy of Joel 2 is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I guess you all know this. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, they were all in agreement, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants servants and on my handmaidens. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then Peter went ahead and explained to them how that wonderful, sinless man that they had just killed was the Messiah. He was their Savior. He was the one who had come to die for their sins. And when they found out that they had killed Jesus, many of them were pricked in their hearts, and they asked Peter and the rest of the brethren, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." When he got done preaching that sermon, 3,000 people stepped forward and were buried, just like Carol Cook was tonight at 6:15 p.m. in the water, under the water, in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. The results was 3,000 people on that one day. So for those who ask you the question, or they ask me the question, or anybody asking the question here tonight, what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? We answer with biblical authority. It is the fulfillment of Holy Scripture. It is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It is the promise of the Father. Now, who wouldn't want the promise of the Father? Nobody but an unbeliever to me. Acts 1:4, and Jesus, after his resurrection, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, for which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah talked about this experience. He said in 28:11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Hey, those stammering lips are a pretty good precursor to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To me, it's a good sign that, hey, he's on the way. Hallelujah. "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear." And there are crazy interpretations to that scripture, especially among a certain denomination I have friends in that denomination. They ask me questions, and I love talking with them, because instead of breaking me down, I get stronger and stronger with every argument and every piece of opposition they pose. I get stronger and stronger. Listen, it's good for you to go out and witness. You'll get stronger. It's good for you to have Bible discussions because you will get stronger. It's good to teach Sunday school because you will learn more than your class learns. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Old John the Baptist, 30 years old, went into the ministry, preached 3 months, 3 to 6 months, and was martyred for the name of Jesus. John the Baptist preached it. He was preaching to a bunch of religious people. "Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And Jesus, on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, said the very same thing. Amen. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In fact, Jesus absolutely corroborated what John said. And he said, if you don't worship, if I stop these, the stones will cry out. Ain't no stone going to take my place, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." He's coming, sister. He's coming. Amen. "Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You see, you can repent. I can baptize you, but only Jesus Christ can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And he's here tonight to do just that. Amen. So, the question comes up with a lot of people. What is the sign of the Holy Ghost? You know that different groups of people that have private prayer meetings and meetings in church basements, and you know who they are. But anyway, it's not my point to make light of them. That's not my point. But they have different signs for the Holy Ghost. Well, my sign was this. What was your sign? What was your sign when you got the Holy Ghost? What was your sign when you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, you jumped over the pews. That was your sign. Oh, you danced. That was your sign. Oh, you swung from the chandeliers to the building. That was your sign. Oh, you ran. That was your sign. No, 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 no. A million times no. God gives only one sign. And by the way, He chose the sign. Whether I like it or not, He chose it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, listen, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they knew that they had the Holy Ghost because they swung from the chandeliers, and they ran the aisles, and they jumped over the pews. That's not what it says. It says, that the Gentiles also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They knew it, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, "Whoop! Can any man forbid water that these that have received the Holy Ghost as well as we don't get baptized in Jesus' name?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you and I realize what we have tonight? Oh, praise God. Amen. I've seen many people receive the Holy Ghost in so many different ways. We were on our way back from camp one year when Sister Mangan, Vesta Mangan, had been preaching, and she told the story of how she sang and how she had tonsillitis, or big tonsils, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and her tonsils just came out of her mouth. She just eschewed them, you might say. She just, there they were, and she was healed. And when she sang, right up about this high from us, and you'd stand there and look up at her when she had that accordion, and you looked in her throat, oh, you talk about the camel going through an eye of a needle. Wow, I mean, she had a throat on her, and she could sing and still can sing. Praise the Lord. But I've seen people receive the Holy Ghost so many ways. And so here we are on the way home from camp. And we had a friend with us who didn't have the Holy Ghost, and he'd been seeking the Holy Ghost, and he wanted the Holy Ghost so bad, he was desperate, and he ran up to Sister Mangan while she was playing her accordion and singing, and the camp meeting was, that was the last meeting, and he came up there, and he looked at her, and he got her attention, and he said, "I want the Holy Ghost." And she said to him, "Son, it won't be long. It won't be long." Well, we waited for the service to get over, and it was a long time. Not to contradict her, but for his anxieties. And so he didn't get the Holy Ghost during that service. But on the way home, we're driving down Highway 29, and my car is faltering a little bit. All it was a dirty gas filter. didn't know it. And so it was sputtering a little, and so we wanted to make sure that we didn't get ahead of the other one and get lost, and then I'd be stuck on the highway. So here's this man. He had three children with him, and they all fell asleep. They went by a turkey farm, and the turkeys were making a lot of noise, and they started dreaming about these turkeys. And then they went by the turkeys, and then the driver of the car all of a sudden received the Holy Ghost while he was driving 65 miles an hour down the highway. I hope you believe what I tell you tonight. My wife was right there, a witness. I can call the man up. He can come here and stand behind this pulpit and tell you what happened. Here he was driving his car. It's summertime around the 4th of July. And I said to my wife, "He's got the Holy Ghost." Because he lifted his hands. One hand was up on the upholstery and the ceiling of the car, and the other one was out the window, and he wasn't steering the car. Here's that car going down the road, 55, 65 miles an hour. So we got ahead of him, I think. I don't remember exactly. We're ahead or we're behind, but I think we got ahead of him. He speeded up, got ahead of me, and then he just didn't have his foot on the gas. The car just slowed down without acceleration, and pulled off to the side. No hands on the wheel. Pulled off to the side of the road. Are these spooky stories? This is a fact. My wife and I were there in the other car. And he received the Holy Ghost. And the boys were dreaming that these turkeys were blah, 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 like that. And he was speaking in tongues. That's what it was. He had received the Holy Ghost. The car stopped. And I ran up there. His foot was on the gas. His other foot was on the floorboard where there used to be clutches, you know. And the car was still in gear, idling. And I just reached over and turned the key off and went, ah. It was parked alongside the road, just perfect. So we worshiped the Lord with our brother. And then he got out of the car and he lifted his hands. And then I put my hands behind him, like this, right on his hips, like this. And here he is, walking down the highway like this. I got my hands on him like this. And cars going by, about ready to call the police. I thought it was a highway robbery. It happened right up here where X, Highway X, just outside of Thorpe. We'll never forget it. We'll never forget it. Another man from Thorpe. His name was Pete. We were all praying for him to get the Holy Ghost. He just couldn't get, it was in that other stone building. He just couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And so we all got up, go home. Most everybody was going up. And there were about four of us there, I think. And I just said, hey, come on, fellas, let's hug Pete. We don't want him to be discouraged. We put our arms around him and the Holy Ghost hit him. And he just went like a corkscrew into a cork. You know, he just went just like this, all the way down into the floor. And he was preaching in tongues all the way down. And he received the Holy Ghost. He'll never forget it, and I'll never forget it. Praise the Lord. But that's the Holy Ghost. But none of these things are the sign. Being screwed into the floor is not the sign. Getting the Holy Ghost in an automobile driving down the highway is not the sign. The sign is, has been, and always will be, speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. Hallelujah. I'll give you my Holy Ghost testimony right now. It was August 27, 1944, 9:20 p.m. All of you know the time. You know the night. You know who preached. You know it all. Because I've said it so many times. But all I can say is when I went to that altar, I came out of my pew like Rocky Marciano would go after a boxer. I just came out and I went after the Holy Ghost. I knelt down there and there were other prayers of other young people going on for me to receive the Holy Ghost. But it seemed to me like heaven was just one big balloon full of Holy Ghost liquid. And I stuck my fingers through that balloon. And it just came down, and then a little crack in the dam, you know, just burst the dam, and it all came down on me. That's about the way I feel about my Holy Ghost experience, and I've never been the same since. I've made my mistakes since, believe me, but I haven't been the same since. Praise God. So I've seen a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost in a lot of different ways. Some have received it at home. Some have received it at church. I think there's one here tonight that received it washing dishes at the kitchen window. I think there's one here tonight that received the Holy Ghost playing hopscotch, a younger person. We had one, at least one, receive the Holy Ghost while singing in the choir. And what else? We've had several of them receive the Holy Ghost in the pew. We had one told me that they received the Holy Ghost during the announcements. Boy, that's hunger. That is hunger. Praise the Lord. So some at home, some at church, some playing hopscotch, some singing in the choir, some in the pew, some during the announcements, some during the offering, but they all spoke with tongues. I can make a strong statement here. I don't believe anybody's been baptized with the Holy Ghost that has not spoken in tongues. Now, that goes against a lot of denominational grains, but that's just my belief. I believe that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Amen. I don't think we should shortchange the Word of God or add to it. Don't settle for anything less than the real. So some teach that there are signs other than tongues that one has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have not myself found them in the Bible. If you have, show me. My wife and I knew a lady named Lois DeGraff in San Antonio, Texas, an older lady scared to death of water. I don't think she washed her face. She was scared of water. Really. And finally, under tremendous conviction, she submitted to baptism. And you know what happened? She told me this personally and told you personally, honey. When she submitted to water baptism and they baptized her, she floated. She floated on the water, speaking another tongue. Well, that must have taken away her fear of water. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One man in that church right over there was healed while being baptized in the tank. But the Bible does not teach that these things will happen, nor does it teach that any one of these things or all of them are the sign that you have received the Holy Ghost. The sign is, has been, and always will be, speaking in other tongues. Boy, and a lot of people don't like to hear that, do they? That's God's choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't seek the tongues. Seek the Holy Ghost. Some seek only the sign. Don't do that. Seek the Holy Ghost. We used to have charismatic meetings over here, and they'd get people that we knew, people that we had convinced to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hadn't had the Holy Ghost. So I remember one, they got him in this room, and they locked the door. They had a bunch of people in there, and they shut the door, locked the door, and they said, "Now," the priest or whoever it was said, cares the anyway. "Nobody's leaving here till you speak in tongues." And this guy's petrified. He's scared to death. So they come to him and they lay their hands on, they go around laying hands on everybody, and everybody's supposed to just receive the Holy Ghost. So a lot of that is not real. This one wasn't real. And it's a longer story that I'm telling you. Because there was a little contest going on between somebody else and somebody else. Oh, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, people get hung up on a lot of things. Well, so he was in the room. "Nobody's leaving until you speak in tongues." And when they laid their hands on him, he was scared to death. And he started talking. He was a Polish man. He started speaking in Polish. And the priest said, "He's got it, he's got it." He came to me afterwards, he came to my house right after that experience. He came to the parsonage over here and said, and I said, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost tonight?" Because that's what the people who took him to the service were telling me, that he had received the Holy Ghost. "Tony received the Holy Ghost, Tony received the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Did you receive?" He didn't look like he had. And I said, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost?" He says, "I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. I had to get out of that room, so I was calling my dog in Polish." That's a true story. Then we had old Harry. Remember Harry? I married Harry and his girlfriend in La Crosse. And they got him in that room. At another date, he was supposed to have received the Holy Ghost. And when he came, when they sent him to me to tell me that he had the Holy Ghost, he came up to me. And I had heard that he had the Holy Ghost. I heard his car stop, and he pulled in right over the parsonage area. I was so excited about him getting the Holy Ghost. I said, "Harry, did you receive the Holy Ghost?" And he said,
"Yeah."
Something said, "Oh, no, he did." So I had a serious talk with him. I said, "Harry, don't be embarrassed with me. You did not receive the Holy Ghost, did you?" And I talked to him about the Holy Ghost. You know what? The next day, I heard the same car. Boom! "Brother Tanberg, I got the Holy Ghost!" I said, "Yes, you did. Yes, you did." Praise the Lord. Just like some of you, he had a dream in the night. He was speaking in tongues, and he got up and he started speaking in tongues and received the Holy Ghost, and he came over so excited. Who can receive the Holy Ghost? Not just the 12 apostles, not just the 120 in the upper room, not just the 3,000 that we talked about, not just the 5,000 a few days later. Who can receive the Holy Ghost? The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Children can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. And some people tell me, oh, no, don't let your child receive the Holy Ghost because it won't mean that much to them. My wife was 7 years old when she received the Holy Ghost, and it means everything in the world to her. And it has kept her all these years. Some 61 years ago, she received the Holy Ghost. Give the Lord a hand. Myself, I believe that children can receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will keep them from a lot of things. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing I learned, and that is that the Holy Ghost is promised, and I can't hinder it. I can't hinder it at all. Amen. I remember when Sister Budzinski's sister, Georgia, received the Holy Ghost. It was an amazing experience for me. But here I am. Here's this other denomination walking through the house. I forgot whose house that was, but anyway, going back and forth requesting baptism. I said, oh God, I can't, she's not ready for baptism, is she? No, I thought she had to belong to our church. You don't have to belong to our church to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. You got to belong to Jesus to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So I can't hinder it. I'll never forget old Ray Frankenberger and how that's another story, but he was evicted from his house. His wife had a truck driver move in and put his belongings out on the sidewalk, and when he came home, that's the way it was. So I had a vision of a police car in Augusta, Wisconsin. I can tell you about it, Mark. But here I am on a Wednesday. I have this vision, and I see this police car crossing the street with another man in it. I didn't recognize the other man, but I'd already known Philo Inglesby, the chief of police of Augusta. And I had a friend that knew him well, and so he introduced me to him. And Philo was in the squad car when I drove down after the vision. The vision was fulfilled right before my eyes. She said, Reverend Tanberg, you're just the man I want to see. And he pointed to this man here, Ray Frankenberger, and he said, this man has been put out of his house, and he doesn't know what to do, and I want you to counsel with him. So he brought us into City Hall, and I sat behind the chief's desk, and he went over in a corner somewhere, and I started talking to this man. This man was a Catholic man. He had never been in a Pentecostal church in his life. I invited him to church. We had a long talk, but I invited him to church to feel the presence of God. He came to church. It was his first time in a Pentecostal church service. He came after the altar call. Later on, he told me, if I hadn't met you first, I would have ran out of that church the way you people carried on. So he responded to the altar call. He came to the altar, and he prayed a little while, and he looked up at me and he said, come here. I was walking back and forth on the platform, and he said, just come here, man. I went down, bent down by him, and he said, I want to be baptized. I've been preaching Acts 2:38, I guess. He said, I want to be baptized. And so I said, you just pray a little more. You just pray a little more. And I go, oh God, he's not ready for baptism. He doesn't know anything about it. You know, and I'm just praying, and I'm going, oh, God, help me, help me, help me, Lord. What am I going to do? You know, I'm the big judge. I know when everybody's ready. Sure. Phooey. So I look over there, and I say, oh, man. He's kneeling down, and he goes like this. He shakes, and then he slapped his face. And then he went. And then he got real pious again. He won. And he regained his composure. And then I'm looking at him. Then a little later, he does the same thing, slaps himself again, then he falls over backwards. And I said, I think I'll baptize him. So we baptized Ray Frankenberger, and he received the Holy Ghost. He has, hallelujah. I don't know how many of you know it, but he's off in yonderland now. He died in California. We were at his funeral in Augusta. I think Brother Hazard and myself did the funeral. Okay, but I learned that I can't hinder the Holy Ghost. I learned that God doesn't need man's approval for him to baptize somebody with the Holy Ghost. I learned that no man can stop God. It doesn't make any difference if you'd like to stop another denomination or what. You can't do it. And if you make it exclusive and you try to hog it within these four walls, God will burst out somewhere on a sidewalk or somewhere in a ghetto somewhere, because his word will be fulfilled. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. People will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. No denomination can stop it. This is for all denominations. This is for all believers. It's prophesied. It is written. We cannot stop it. It's for everybody who believes in Jesus and has repented of their sins. Hallelujah. This is for all those that are afar off. It's not exclusively for the Jews. God is no respecter of persons, any nationality, any denomination. As long as they believe in Jesus and have repented of their sins, then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say something else to encourage anybody here who really wants the Holy Ghost. I'd like to say this, that if you have been justified by faith, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been justified by faith, you will never, never, you will never be more qualified to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. If you've been justified by faith and you think that you can make yourself more qualified, you are adding to the cross of Calvary, and you cannot add to that. His blood was sufficient to take away every one of our sins. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I feel so sorry for people who are waiting for what's already been given. Why tarry ye? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sin. Receive the Holy Ghost. Why tarry? Why wait? Amen. We had a Pentecostal boy in our church who had a wife that he married, was a Baptist girl, and she was a wonderful Christian girl. In my opinion, she was a better Christian than our Pentecostal boy was. That's my opinion. but she didn't have the Holy Ghost, and he did. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name, and I think she had too, but she saw that. But anyway, she had never asked the Lord for the Holy Ghost. She found out about that one day after her husband went to work, and she was there in their apartment in Altoona, apartment house, one apartment here, one here. And you know, you're kind of quiet in your apartment house because you don't want to disturb everybody else. So she is, she gets up in the morning, she lays her Bible on her lap, and she's kneeling at her bedside, and she starts reading the Bible. And the Bible said that he gives the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. She put her Bible down, she said, Jesus, I've never asked you for the Holy Ghost. I now ask you for the Holy Ghost. And boom, she started speaking in other tongues and received the Holy Ghost. My wife got involved in that one with another friend of hers. And one of them worked, they both worked at the telephone company, and they were talking on the telephone, talking in tongues over the telephone. And it was just one joyous time. Praise the Lord. So when you get the Holy Ghost, you know, you want to be sure to wrap it up in a napkin and tuck it away somewhere. You are wise. Amen. Oh, put it in a steel box and bury it. Put it in your safe. Amen. Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, that should be active the rest of your life. It quicken your mortal flesh. This mortal flesh. That's what it says. I'm stuck on that one. I'm stuck on that. Haven't had anybody prove to me any different. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. A temple is where God dwells, right? Your body is that flesh. Body, flesh. That's where it is. It says he'll quicken your mortal body. to do his will. He'll quicken your mortal body, like Don Grant said tonight, to live above sin, to hate sin, and love righteousness. That's what he comes for. He wants to be active in our lives from the day where we receive the Holy Ghost till the day we die. Praise the Lord. So how long will the Holy Ghost last? When you receive the Holy Ghost, how long will it last? The Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. Brother Hicks was preaching. We were at the camp meeting in Illinois. Never forget it. One man said that his priest, his minister, told him not to leave the church for 15 minutes after receiving communion. And here are his words. Don't leave the church until the Holy Ghost leaves you. Somebody ought to go, oh. Don't leave the church until the Holy Ghost leaves you. Well, I'd like for you to know tonight that the Holy Ghost doesn't leave us. We might leave the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost doesn't leave us. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. When the Holy Ghost comes, he comes to live in us. He comes to stay. Praise the Lord. And that's what he wants to do. And so some of you have heard me tell this story, and that is when I went up to, it used to be a little store in St. Paul, and a big 7-foot guy gets out of his little car, you know, and he's standing there, and he stands, you know, head and shoulders over my car, but he's off in the distance just a little bit, and I look at this fella, and I say to myself, man, is he happy? He's just a whistling and humming. He is so happy. And so I'm attracted to that kind of joy. I looked over there, and I'm smiling. The guy looks at me, and he smiles back. I looked at him, and I said, Warren? He said, John? We had gone to school together. I said to my wife, I said, he's got the Holy Ghost. He's just so happy. And so I said, Warren, how come you're so happy? He said, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. You know, I knew that he got it last night around the way up the door. I said, when did you get the Holy Ghost? He said, 6 years ago. Hallelujah. That's right. This thing's supposed to be just as alive 6 years or 61 years later. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is alive and well. Not about to die or get sick. Praise God. So how about you? How about me? Can we say, I just had my 55th birthday. My Holy Ghost birthday. 44 and 55 makes 99. So I'm 55 years old in the Lord. Amen. I don't want my diary, my Holy Ghost diary, to end on August 27, 1944. I'd like to have it go on to August 28, and August 29, and August 30, and August 31, and September 1, and September 2, and September 3, and on and on, right on. You folks, we have received power after that we received the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need power. Praise the Lord. So, let me close with this. What do I do? Any one of you here that want the Holy Ghost. What do I do to receive the Holy Ghost? Here are Jesus' final words on earth. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now, isn't this something? These are the last words of Jesus while he was on earth. And after the Holy Ghost was outpoured, the first words of Peter, same thing. Brother and sister, this is it. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet. This is that something came down from heaven, and oh, how it thrills my soul. We need to sing that tonight. Behold, I send. Now, Jesus is just about to ascend into heaven. I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now that's while he was on earth. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they, what can you do to receive the Holy Ghost? Do this. And they worshiped him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You can be happy before you get the Holy Ghost because you have the promise. Weren't they happy? Wasn't there great joy in the city of Samaria when Philip went down there before Peter and John came down, laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Great joy. Don't resent somebody having great joy that doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so it says, they worshiped him. So you come to this altar and pray for the Holy Ghost tonight. Worship. Worship him. Don't seek tongues, seek the Holy Ghost. Worship Jesus and have great joy. And then it says they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. If you don't receive tonight, come on back. Continually praising and blessing God. Come on back again and again and again with that praise on your lips. There was a girl up in St. Paul, I believe it was, walking home on a dark and lonely street. She didn't have the Holy Ghost, but she had heard a lot of preaching that you're supposed to be worshiping the Lord when you receive the Holy Ghost. And so this girl was walking down this street. Probably weren't adequate lights in those days. This is many, many years ago when I was a boy. And some guys kidnapped her. They grabbed her and started driving her out on the country road to do you know what. She was terrified. But she remembered. She had to have the Holy Ghost before she died. And the way you get the Holy Ghost is worship God. So in the back seat of that automobile, she started worshiping God. And the result was she received the Holy Ghost and started speaking in other tongues. And the kidnappers went crazy. They stopped the car and they kicked her out. She didn't get raped. That was the end of the kidnap. And she had the Holy Ghost. And she was picked up and taken home. I've noticed something else. Some people, when they begin to receive the Holy Ghost, they get scared. Their lips start shaking and they get scared. They don't know. I'll tell you why. Supernatural things are scary. Let me read you a little story. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon, that's supernatural. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. Ah! And they cried out, the Bible says. Can't you hear these grown men? Ah! Crying out. It says they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately, Jesus loving them, he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And when you come to this altar and your lips start trembling and your hands start shaking, I want you to tune into the voice of Jesus. And he will say to you, don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. I have come to supernaturally fill you with my spirit. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise.